we continue in worship, we have the opportunity to read upon the scriptures, hear a word from God. This morning I'll be reading from the Gospel of Luke, the 9th chapter, verses 1 through 6. The mission of the 12. It says, then Jesus called the 12 together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal. He said to them, take nothing for your journey, no staff, nor bag, nor bread, nor money, not even an extra tunic. Whatever house you enter, stay there and leave from there. Wherever they do not welcome you, as you are leaving that town, shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. They departed and went through the villages, bringing the good news and curing diseases everywhere. This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for this day, for this time together, for this place and service that we might gather to hear a word from you, that we might be reminded of your love and our call as your disciples. God, I ask that you speak through me and in spite of me this day, that your word might be proclaimed and we might hear with joy what you say to us today. We pray this in Christ's holy name. Amen. Welcome to worship. We're so grateful that you are here. My name is JJ. I serve as one of the pastors, and I'm grateful to be with you, as always. Well, this summer, we went on a trip to Disneyland in California. We really wanted to go check out the new and latest Star Wars rides and attractions that they had there. Disneyland is a little bit smaller than Disney World, and we can make our way around a whole lot easier. And really, all we needed was Star Wars, because we spent most of our 4 days there in that particular area. But that's beside the point. In order to simplify our travel to Los Angeles, into Disney World, we always try to squeeze everything that we need into two large suitcases. There's usually one for Amy and I, and then one for Ben and Levi that we put all our stuff in. And you know, those ones that always end up at like 51 pounds. And so you have to like haul them, you know, get them out of your car and get them to the front counter, but then you check them in at Austin and they arrive in Los Angeles, and it's so much easier than having to haul them around the airport and all of that. Well, this particular trip, we had a layover, and so it wasn't a direct flight. So while we were sitting in Phoenix Airport, we noticed, like, we got some lunch and then we were going to wait on our flight, but then we noticed there was a delay. So then we just kind of, you know, 30 minutes, okay. Kind of hung out for a little while longer, and we worked our way towards the gate, and then we noticed, well, there was another delay. And then there was another delay. So we started, like, looking, and we said, oh, look, Long Beach. We can just fly to Long Beach. So there was a plane boarding, and we checked, and they had plenty of space for all of us to jump on that plane. But you see, there was just one holdup. Our luggage was checked to go to LAX. And so we had to follow the luggage to Los Angeles Airport. Well, at least one of us did. So Amy and the boys, we were able to switch them. They were able to jump on that plane to Long Beach. Meanwhile, I hung out at the airport and waited for another delay and another delay. And another delay later, I eventually ended up at the airport 7 or 8 hours later than Amy and the boys. You see, what I thought and what we thought was providing more freedom in our travel became the thing that held us back from getting to where we needed to go. It became the chain or the barrier. And truth of the matter is we often thought we needed to fill those suitcases because we had the space, but we often came back with more clean clothes than we did dirty clothes. We packed so many extra tunics. And since that time, we started traveling a little lighter. We started traveling where we each had our small little carry-on that we would carry with us throughout the airplane. And in doing so, we're finding that we were carrying a whole lot more than we actually needed. But by carrying just what we need, we have the ability to adjust, to move quicker. And we actually have much more freedom. This is earth-shattering information for you this morning. You see, Jesus gave us this advice a long time ago when he was gathering his 12 disciples and together and commissioning them on their first missionary journey. He was saying, don't pack all of this extra stuff. The scene this morning is set in a small village in Galilee, and the disciples were surrounding Jesus as he imparts his instructions and authority to them. And the disciples are filled with a mix of excitement and apprehension as they prepare to go out and to spread the message of the kingdom of God and to heal people. And he's instructing them. He's giving them authority. This diverse group of people with their own strengths and weaknesses, but united in their devotion to Jesus and their desire to faithfully serve him. And in the scripture, we see some characteristics of this mission is hospitality and sharing and making sure that we're walking with one another and providing us one another and welcoming each other, and we're sharing what we have and that we have community and that we accept those who are excluded, that we welcome those who need healing. The scene depicting Jesus sending out the 12 offers this mixture of power and dependence. Jesus lends them his own power to cure and to have authority over demons, to do the same miracles as their teacher had been doing. But then he says, take nothing with them, to rely upon the generosity of others instead of filling their bags with things that are just in case that we might need or are extra, but to be instead be totally dependent on those who you gather with. For you see, when one is confident of being taken care of by others, you don't feel like you need to hoard everything. You don't feel like you have to have every preventative thing or preparatory thing, but that you are free to be. It's hospitality. Those who are expecting, those who are expecting, and those who you've never met are welcome. One who goes with nothing goes because they trust in the people and they think they will be welcomed and received. And you see, this way of traveling that Jesus was giving to the disciples that day was a new type of travel. It was something different. It was a new practice. And you see, by instructing the disciples not to carry any spare tunics or money or food, he's telling them, don't worry. You don't have to focus on yourselves. You don't have to focus just primarily on you, but rather on the mission at hand. The freedom to preach, the freedom to heal the sick, the freedom to be with those who are in need. And God will provide all that you need through the people you encounter. Sharing, community, we find the kingdom of God, an expression of the covenant of the kingdom, of the love of the Father, who makes us brothers and sisters in the faith. When we're part of the community, when we practice hospitality, when we share with one another, there's this invitation to allow God to be part of our lives as we care for one another. It's this dual nature of ministry, addressing both the spiritual and the physical needs, a holistic approach of serving one another. You see, Jesus places his trust in these 12 disciples as he gives them the authority. He places his trust in his followers, giving them the responsibility to carry out his mission. These verses that we read this morning reflect on our role today. How do we share the gospel? How do we serve others? The scripture for this morning is a challenge for us to step out in faith, trusting in God's strength and guidance to make a difference in this world. In Jesus' name. I was reading this book. It's called Go by George Hunter, the Church's Main Purpose. And in the book, he has this thing that talks about how some believe maybe that the church is about, that its main business is to make people believe like us or behave like us or to become like us or to share our politics or to have experiences just like us. But you see, the gospel's bigger than that. The gospel's bigger than me, myself, and I, or it's about Jesus. It's about Christ's mission. And Christ's mission, locally and globally, is its main business. The church, being the people of God, shaped by God's love, sent out to publicly be present in the world by serving and witnessing and inviting all people to know and experience the love of Jesus. We're just vessels. We're just channels that God uses for that to take place. And Jesus entrusts us to do that. In this book, there's another quote by Emil Brunner back in the early 1930s, slightly before I was born. But the quote says, "The word of God, which was given in Jesus Christ, is a unique historical fact, and everything Christian depends on it. Hence, everyone who receives this word and by its salvation receives along with it the duty of passing this word on. Just as a man who might have discovered a remedy for cancer which saved himself would be in duty bound to make this remedy accessible to all. Mission work does not arise from any arrogance in the Christian church. Mission is its cause and its life. The church exists by mission, just as fire exists by burning. Where there is no mission, there is no church. And where there is neither church nor mission, there is no faith. Mission is the spreading out of the fire which Christ has thrown upon the earth. He who does not propagate this fire shows that he is not burning. He who burns propagates the fire. The divine remedy must be made accessible to all. The church exists by mission, just as fire exists by burning." This isn't Pentecost Sunday, but we also see this image of fire and burning and the Holy Spirit on Pentecost. But I guess the question becomes, as we read this scripture and as Jesus has given these 12 this mission, as he gives us the mission today, how can we each use our own unique God-given gifts to bring hope and restoration to those around us? That Jesus equips us with everything we need to fulfill our unique purpose he has for your life and for my life. And just like he did the disciples, and he says, we don't have to worry and try to make sure we take every little thing on the road, but know that God gives us everything we need meet the call that he has. The scripture reminds us of the importance of our faith. It reminds us about our reliance on God. It reminds us to continue to persevere in ministry. It reminds us that we might have resilience whenever we do face those challenges. God's provision may not always come in the form we expect or desire, but we can always trust that God is right there with us. And we're able to experience his faithfulness in ways that we may not have ever imagined by relying on him completely. God's always faithful. Here's my challenge. As we kind of finish out this year and as we move into next year and as we're kind of filling out, like, what do we want to think of new, and as you're kind of thinking of New Year's resolutions or how you want to start off the new year, I wonder what it would look like for 100% of our congregation serving and giving outside of even worship. Like, worship is our gathering, but what's it look like for us to be worship and giving outside of worship? Serving and giving outside of worship. That we might do as God called his disciples and be sent. Sent to proclaim and believe what we say in here in the world. That we might live in mission. That we might be this fire that this book talks about. In the world around us. Let us pray. Gracious God, we love you and thank you for being with us and for always providing more than we need. And so often we worry about things that we don't need to worry about, and sometimes they become maybe a hindrance or a chain or a barrier from moving about and sharing the message that you would have us share. And so, God, may we free ourselves from worry, from anxiety. May we be open and aware of how and who you're calling us to share your great message of love with. God, thank you for this church, for each person here, and for those who you place in our path. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.